Hi again, everybody, and welcome to the Airman's Podcast, episode 97. Today is Tuesday, July 1st, 2008. And of course, July 1st is Canada Day, which is basically Canada's birthday, because on July 1st, 1867, Canada federated and essentially became an independent kingdom. Although, as with Australia and New Zealand, the actual process took a bit longer than that because the British Parliament retained powers to itself, actually into the 20th century. But nevertheless, July 1st, 1867 is the day that Canada started on the road to full independence, and so I'd like to salute my fellow Commonwealth citizens in the Great White North. The intro music today is, of course, Canada's national anthem, which I suspect many Americans probably don't know, but be that as it may. But since it is July 1st, I thought I would tell you about some things that are number one. Amarin's podcast is number one. I'll tell you about that later. But first I'm going to tell you about how New Zealand is number one in the world in something kind of interesting. And then the political party in New Zealand that's currently polling number one has been caught sort of with its pants down. And by the way, there will be no dirty words that I know of in this episode of the Airman's Podcast. I think I did my year's share in the last episode. But anyway, the first thing I'm going to tell you about today is that an Oxfam report, of course Oxfam is an anti-poverty group, they found that New Zealand has the world's fastest uptake of fair trade products in the world, a 45-fold increase in just 4 years. Now, that typically involves things like coffee, tea, and chocolate, well, cocoa beans, but chocolate. And what that means, essentially, is that in fair trade, they try to maintain a minimum price to producers, that's essentially to guarantee them a living wage. So they might, very often, a distributor will negotiate directly with the growers or a growers collective rather than using some middleman or whatever. And by doing that, they can pay more money directly to the growers and still not end up costing terribly much more for the consumer. Now, here in New Zealand, you could only get fair trade products at specialty stores, places that actually specialized in fair trade products. But nowadays, you can get fair trade coffee and tea and chocolate for certain, and other products as well, I'm sure, at pretty much any decent-sized grocery store. I've bought fair trade coffee beans for many, many years now, and just recently I noticed they had fair trade chocolate at my neighborhood grocery store, so I started buying that, and it's actually really, really good. But in the case of coffee, for example, what will very often happen is they'll buy the beans green and then import them to New Zealand and roast them here. And by doing all of that, by not buying the beans already processed, they can pay more to the growers. And this has had a pretty big effect on the growers who are fair trade sellers of coffee and cocoa in particular, and increasingly tea, who have been sort of decimated both by the free trade endeavors of big business, but also because there are several layers of middlemen between them and the consumer. So the consumer might pay a high price for something, but the farmer, the actual grower of the product, whether it's coffee or cocoa or what have you, gets very little. And it's not just the people you might think of. For example, Starbucks is starting to sell fair trade coffee, although not exclusively. But it's not just Starbucks that's the problem. It's everybody between Starbucks and the grower, the people that they buy their beans from, because they don't necessarily buy their beans directly, although they claim that they buy more directly than they used to. The large food companies, Kraft and Nestle and Heinz and all the others, very often they have to source products that go into other products when they manufacture, say, pre-made meals of some sort or other. And a lot of times it's those things as well that become part of the fair trade problem, because they're sourced through, you know, many layers of distributors. The actual person who produces the food doesn't get anything for it. So what I do whenever possible is I look for the fair trade label, and there's a recognized emblem you can find, and I try to buy fair trade products. And it turns out that obviously I'm not alone, because here in New Zealand at least, the uptake of fair trade products has grown dramatically. Now, some of that is probably trendy, to be honest. It's a good thing to do. You know, it's a feel-good thing to do as well. But it's also an easy thing to do. So I think that's part of why it's worked so well so far in New Zealand. But moving on now to politics, and New Zealand politics specifically. That's my chair creaking, in case you're wondering. I tried to take care of that the other day, and I didn't succeed. The Conservative National Party is currently polling way ahead in the voter opinion polls. We have an election, of course, in about 4 months' time, roughly. And some of that is to be expected because the New Zealand Labour Party has led government for three terms. And New Zealand voters tend to get sick of any party that's been there that long and they want to change. It happens repeatedly. It happened to the National Party in 1999 as well when Labour came to power. People were just sick of National and they wanted to change. Well, and it's also easy for National to be ahead when they haven't released any policy at all. So basically people are just supporting National because they want change without having any idea what that change is going to look like. Well, it was revealed in the Sunday Star Times this weekend that the National Party has been using a Australian neoconservative PR agency to do their campaign research and focus group testing and those sorts of things. This is a big issue here because it's the same agency that the disgraced National Party leader who led the party to defeat in the last election. It's the same agency that he used, and they were trying to run a stealth campaign promising to do one thing when they actually plan to do the opposite in many cases. The agency also was involved for many years with the deposed Prime Minister of Australia, John Howard. And there was a famous incident several elections ago now where there were some essentially boat people who were trying to sneak into Australia who were picked up by a freighter called the Tampa. And John Howard, who was Prime Minister at the time, famously declared that the refugees were throwing their children overboard so they would be rescued and brought to Australia. Well, it turned out to be a lie. And there, it has been suggested that this agency had something to do with promoting that lie. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But what I do know is that the agency is notorious for running wedge politic campaigns. They take issues that divide people and promote them as a way of trying to win elections. But they're infamous for push polling. Now, push polling is where somebody rings up voters and posing as a pollster. And they ask who the person is going to vote for. And if they say the wrong person, essentially, not the right-wing candidate, then they will ask an outrageous question to try to get the person to switch their vote. And in Australia, they were caught out for doing this and were fined and had to apologize to the candidate they did it to. And she was running in Canberra, which is sort of like D.C. in the U.S. And essentially what they said is they said, well, would you vote for this woman if you knew that she supported abortions up to 9 months? Which was an utter lie. She didn't support anything of the kind. She was a Labour candidate. And she lost the election, as it happens. And that sort of behavior is illegal in many places. It's illegal in Australia, and I'm pretty sure it's illegal in New Zealand as well. And so they were caught out, and they had to pay a fine and apologize. But it's the kind of thing that they do. They recently helped elect the Tory candidate. Tory is a Conservative candidate. The Tory candidate for Lord Mayor of London. And they did it by ignoring all of the issues because the Labour mayor, Red Ken Livingstone, was well ahead on all of those issues, and they focused instead on things that no mayor has any control over, like the price of petrol. Sound familiar? And they talked about personalities, and they reframed the Tory candidate who was prone to saying really outrageous things and bursts of temper, apparently. And they repackaged him in a different way to make him all warm and fuzzy, and so that he could win the election basically on a sham. And that's the same sort of thing that seems to be going on in New Zealand already. They're focusing on the leader of the National Party, his name's John Key, trying to package him as being a nice guy, warm and fuzzy and all that. But no policy is discussed ever. No concrete solutions are proposed. So a lot of people are thinking that the campaign that this agency ran for the Lord Mayor of London may be the sort of thing that they're planning on doing here in New Zealand as well. But we shall see. Now, I want to tell you that the Airman's podcast is number one. Well, actually, it isn't anymore, but it was. Here's a story. Yesterday, I was checking around in the iTunes stores, as you do, checking out my rankings. Actually, I was looking to see where it was showing up on iTunes USA. That's how this started out. And the show badge is like the seventh of the new notable or something. And my old podcast is still on the featured page of Personal Journals. And that's about as far as it goes. I still have three reviews, which reminds me, I'll come back to that. So then I went to iTunes New Zealand just to see what was going on. And I looked at the page you get when you get to personal journals, and my show badge was still there. It was like sixth place, I think it was. And it was up, the first one in the new notable, and drum roll please, my podcast was number one among podcasts in New Zealand on that day. Now, I checked today, and it's slipped to number two because This American Life has gone back to number one. But I posted a pic of that over on Twitter, for those of you who follow me. And Matthew from Spanking B. Arthur and the Big Gay Sex Show pointed out that I was now ahead of them. But that is only temporary because the Big Gay Sex Show is always the top-rated gay podcast in New Zealand. So they will be again. You know, I'm fully aware that the reason why my podcast went to number one is because of all of the people who are switching feeds to the new feed. But I'll take it where I can get it, because the highest I've ever been in New Zealand was number five. And so I'm quite happy to have been number one, even if it was only for a day. But I was the number one personal journal podcast in New Zealand for one day anyway. But that actually brings up something. And that's the subject of five-star iTunes reviews. Now, I don't talk about this anymore generally, and I won't keep going on about it. However, last time I looked, I only had three reviews from Walt, Fairy Princess Holly, and Eric the Southern Boy. And I really would like some more, because my current, my old podcast show badge thingy, Elmart, is going to drop off the featured page any day now. It keeps flirting towards the bottom. The right lower right-hand corner hasn't quite gotten there yet. But it will. And I would like it to be replaced ultimately by the new one, or at the very least for the new one to show up in any of those five pages of featured podcasts. And it's not there yet. And I'll need some reviews in order for that to happen, obviously. So if you would be so kind as to leave a five-star review in iTunes USA or whatever country you happen to be registered in, I would greatly appreciate it for the new one, which is, of course, you can tell the difference because the new one says it's by Arthur the Amarins. And that is actually all I wanted to tell you about today. I didn't, obviously, podcast on Friday, mostly because I wasn't feeling up to it again, a bit like the week before. And quite frankly, I didn't really have anything to say that day. And I thought, well, I'm not going to force it and just podcast for the sake of podcasting, because if I start doing that kind of thing, then it's not going to be fun anymore, and then it's kind of pointless. So I decided I'd just give it a miss. Now, as it happens, now this is just between you and me, but as it happens, I was talking with Nigel over the weekend, and he said to me that if I helped him with the project he had to do for work, that he promised that he would record a podcast with me. So he promised me, and so I'm passing it on to you, that he's promised to do a podcast with me, and hopefully that will come up sometime in the next week. But in the meantime, Jason is going to be joining me on Friday's episode for another political discussion. We haven't talked about the campaign in months, basically, because I've been busy and he's been busy, and all kinds of things have been going on. We'll probably talk a bit about that too, probably. But so that's on Friday's episode. And so with any luck, I'll be able to record with Nigel sometime over the weekend. And maybe I can post that on Tuesday, but we'll see how that goes. But that is actually all I'm going to tell you about today. Yeah, short episode. Yep. That should help you clear out a few of the backlog in your old iTunes and iPod. It would help me, I know. But anyway, that is it for today. And as I say, I'll be back on Friday with a political show with Jason. Do leave a comment on my new podcast blog, which is amarinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at arthur@amarinspodcast.com. And you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. Now, Big Fatty mentioned the other day that I've got an anniversarium coming up, and I do indeed. 100th episode won't be until, I don't know, another week or two. But that is true. I'm coming up on 100 episodes, if you can believe that. God, it's taken me a long time to get there. It seems like it's taken a lot longer to get from 50 to 100 than it did to get to the first 50. But anyway, that is it for today's episode. I'll be back again on Friday with my political show with Jason. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Bye.